Canto 5, Chapter 1, Chapter entitled The Activities of Maharaj Priyavrat. Verse number 4. Samshayo yamaham brahman Daragara sutadishu Sutadishu Saktasya yad siddhir abhut Krishne cha matirachyata Samshayo yamaham brahman Daragara sutadishu Sutadishu Saktasya yat siddhir abhut Krishne cha matirachyuta Samshayoyam mahan brahman Daragara sutadishu Saktasya yat siddhir abhut Krishne cha matirachyuta Vaishnavis. What to a translation? Samshayaha, doubt. Ayam, this. Mahan, great. Brahman, O Brahmana. Dara, to the wife. Agara, home. Suta, children. Adishu, and so on. Saktasya, of a person attached. Yat, because. Siddhihi, perfections. Abhut, became. Krishna, unto Krishna. Cha, also. Matihi, attachment. Achyuta, infallible. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. The king continued, O great Brahmana, this is my great doubt. How was it possible for a person like King Priyavrata, who was so attached to wife, children and home, to achieve the topmost infallible perfection in Krishna consciousness? Purport. King Parikshit wondered how a person so attached to wife, children and home could become so perfectly Krishna conscious. Prahlad Maharaja said, Matirna Krishna Paratasvatova Mitho Bhibhadyeta Graha Vratanam. A Graha Vrata, one who has taken a vow to execute family duties, has no chance to become Krishna conscious. This is because most Graha Vratas are guided by sense gratification and therefore gradually glide down to the darkest regions of material existence. Adanta gobhit vishatam tamishrun. How can they possibly become perfect in Krishna consciousness? Maharaj Parikshit asked Shukadeva Goswami to resolve this great doubt. Om agyanati mirandhasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobhishtam स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुत पदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातां सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजन सहितं कृष्ण चैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगण ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश्च नमा ओं विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामीति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामने गौरद्विषे नमः हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधाकांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी ऋषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा। टुडे मॉर्निंग वी आर कंटिन्यूइंग द सेक्शन ऑन महाराज प्रियव्रत Mysterious returning back to householder life after being in the renounced life. So we will discuss four main points today. The first point we'll discuss is the difference and similarity between material life and spiritual life. Second, we'll discuss how somebody can fall from spiritual life back to material life. Third, we'll discuss how somebody can return from material life to spiritual life. And fourth, how somebody can practice spiritual life even within materialistic circumstances. So, here Srila Prabhupada, samshayoyam mahan brahman. So the mahan word is an adjective which can be used to describe both nouns, samshaya and brahmana. So that's why Prabhupada gives the benefit of doubt to both and he says, O great brahmana, this is my great doubt. So, what is this great doubt? It is a great doubt because the path of dharma has to be very clear because we have to live according to it. Just like if we are traveling from one place to another and at a particular point the map itself is unclear, then we will not know where to go. So the scriptures are like a map. The lives of the previous great personalities, they are like the roadmap for us to chart our journey of life. Evam gyatva kritam karma purvai ravimukshubhi guru karmai vatasmatvam purvai purvataram kritam. In the Bhagavad Gita, in the 4th chapter, 15th verse, Lord Krishna describes, O Arjuna, just as people in the past have acted, you act according to their example. And just as they attain liberation, you will attain liberation. So the people in the past, he is referring to Imam Vivasvate Yogam Proktavan Hamavayam Vivasvan Manave Praha. These three personalities, Vivasvan, Manu, Ikshvaku, that's from the 4th chapter, only first verse. And in the 3rd chapter, in the 19th, 20th verses, he has referred to Janakadaya Karmanahi Samsiddhim Astita Janakadaya Lokasangrahamevapi Sampashyan Kartumarhasi. That just as Janaka, while being in the householder life, also attained perfection, you too, O Arjuna, can attain perfection. So, the lives of the past personalities, past great personalities, are like the roadmap. They are the guides for us. But if the roadmap itself is unclear, then there will be great confusion. It's like the normal course of action is somebody is in a householder life, then he renounces and goes to the renounced order. But somebody from the renounced order coming back to the householder order is unusual and it can be confusing to people. So, the general conventional understanding is that material life and spiritual life are like two distinct non-intersecting circles. That means a person who is materialistic cannot be spiritual, and a person who is spiritual cannot be materialistic. So these two are intersecting, non-intersecting circles. And the general idea is that one progresses from material life to spiritual life. So, Arjuna also asks, Srila Prabhupada will refer to this section of the Bhagavad Gita in the next purport, which is quite long. At the end of the sixth chapter, when Krishna has described the path of yoga, at that time Arjuna asks Krishna, what if somebody is not able to complete his spiritual journey? What is his destination? So the idea is that Arjuna is saying, Chinnabhram Ivanashyati. He says that, see, this is material life. So from material life, there is certain success, certain happiness available. But to practice spiritual life, one gives up material life. So he envisions that there are two clouds. So one cloud is following the path of material life. One cloud is moving in one direction. Another cloud is moving in another direction. That is the path of spiritual life. So he said the spiritualists are going back to Godhead. The materialistic people, if they do punya, they will go to heaven. If they do punya. Generally the scriptures talk about materialistic people, they are not talking about godless, sinful materialists that are the typical norm of Kali Yuga. Even when they talk about materialistic people, they are talking about karmakandis who follow Shastra. So he says that, say, if these are two clouds, the materialistic people will ascend to heaven. The spiritualists will go back to the spiritual world. But if somebody is on this path to go to heaven, he leaves this path, but is unable to join the cloud that is going to back to Godhead. That means, say, a small piece of a cloud leaves one of the clouds, and before it can reach this side, it just is blown away by the wind. Apratishtho mahabaho vimudho brahmanapati. Apratishtho, foundationless. Isn't such a person lost in this world and the next? Because he lost material life in this world, he lost heaven in the next world, he lost the spiritual world in the next world. In every way he is a loser. So, the exact details of the question are not the same here and there, but the principle is the same. The principle is that how do we define success in spiritual life? So, if a person is returning from renounced order to householder order, is that a failure? If a person tries to practice spiritual life, is not able to complete it, is that a failure? So when Lord Krishna senses the doubt in the heart of Arjuna, it's like samshayo mahan, the word is used over here. So Arjuna also used the same word in 6.39. Etanme samshayam Krishna chetvam arhasya sheshata tvadanya samshayasyasya chetanaya upapadyate. My dear Lord, only you can dispel this doubt. Apart from you, nobody can. So sometimes when people are filled with anxiety, more than wisdom, more than enlightenment, they need encouragement. See, enlightenment means to know what to do. Encouragement means to give the confidence that you can do it. So spiritual life, when we share Krishna consciousness, both these have to be there. Encouragement and enlightenment. Enlightenment means, yes, we should not just pursue materialistic life like everybody is pursuing. So that is enlightenment. What should we do? But then if we say we have to practice spiritual life, we need encouragement. Will I be able to practice it? All the principles, all the rules, can I practice it? So in this case, as well as in the start of the Gita, Lord Krishna, before he enlightens Arjuna about the answer to his question, he reassures him. He encourages him. In fact, the 6.40 is one of the sweetest verses in the Bhagavad Gita. The reassurance coming out, pouring forth out from the heart of Krishna towards the seekers who are struggling in the material world, insecure about whether they will attain an eternal destination. Krishna wants to reassure and give them confidence. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha पार्थ नैवेह नामुत्र विनाशस्तस्य विद्यते नहि कल्याण कृत कश्चित् दुर्गतिं तात गच्छति. ओ पार्थ नैवेह नामुत्र. पार्थ नेवर इधर इन दिस वर्ल्ड और इन द नेक्स्ट वर्ल्ड. राधा रास बिहारी भगवान की जय. विनाशस्तस्य विद्यते नीदर इन दिस वर्ल्ड नॉर इन द नेक्स्ट वर्ल्ड. मे सच ए पर्सन बी डिस्ट्रॉयड एंड नहीं कल्याण कृत कश्चित. वन इज एंगेज इन ऑस्पिशियस वर्क दुर्गतिम तात गच्छति. सो तात इज अ वेरी अफेक्शन फिल्ड वर्ड. And it is this is the only place in the Gita 6.40 where the Lord uses this word Tat. Arjuna, you are my Tat, you are my beloved friend, and I assure you, you will never meet with destruction. And Krishna shows brilliantly in the next three verses. Arjuna is thinking that if somebody deviates from the spiritual path, he will neither get heaven nor get liberation. But Krishna explains how even the deviated from the spiritual path will get both heaven and liberation. He says, first they will go to heaven, and then what will happen? Prapya punya kritan lokan ushitva shashvati sama shuchinam shimatam gehe yogo brashto bijayate. They will go to heaven, they will come back, and then they will practice bhakti, and then they'll attain me. So Krishna reassures, and then he enlightens. So here similarly, Parikshit is having a doubt. Why is Parikshit Maharaj having such a doubt? Because he has himself renounced the world with the desire to one-pointed focus on hearing and chanting about the Lord. And such a sudden withdrawal from royal managerial responsibilities can possibly cause difficulties or even chaos in the management of the world. But Parikshit Maharaj is determined. Now, my death is coming and this is what I have to do. So he's renounced the world and come to the jungle. And now he's hearing somebody was in the jungle and he went back to the palace. So this is some mahan samshaya. So this is my great doubt. Why did he do like this? So the general idea is that material life is like one circle, spiritual life is like another circle. However, these circles are not exclusive. They intersect. And most of us, not only those who are householders, but even those who are brahmacharis or sannyasis, especially living in materialistic settings like cities. Now we live to some extent at the intersection of these two circles. So because we are living in a material environment, but at the same time we are trying to practice spiritual life. So ultimately what is it that determines whether somebody is living materially or spiritually? Srila Prabhupada explains, who is a materialist and who is a spiritualist? He says, one who seeks happiness externally, he is a materialist. One who seeks happiness internally, he is a spiritualist. So, the principle is not whether somebody is living in a jungle or somebody is living in a house, in a city. It is whether one is seeking happiness internally or externally. So ultimately, whether we are living a material life or a spiritual life is determined by the quality of our desires. What are we desiring? Are we desiring external material things? Or are we desiring an internal spiritual connection with the Lord and are seeking happiness therein? So, if even while living in material circumstances we can cultivate and sustain spiritual desires, then Padma Patra Mivambhasa, as Lord Krishna described in the Bhagavad Gita 5th chapter 10th verse, that one can be like a lotus leaf, untouched by the water. The water comes but slides away. So how does this happen? Actually Bhakti Yoga is the process. There are two processes. It's traditionally, last time in the class 3 days ago I explained how in the path of karma we think this world is meant for my enjoyment. And yes, God exists, but the purpose of God's existence is to facilitate my enjoyment. So that was the idea of karma mimamsa. So Krishna, when he spoke this asat philosophy, this false philosophy, to persuade Indra Maharaj to give up Indra Puja, he was telling, if we do our duty, Indra is bound to give the reins. So the idea is,
the existence of Indra is to facilitate our enjoyment. So this is Karmakanda. So God exists for what purpose? For my enjoyment. This is karma. So this world is meant for my enjoyment. That is the path of karma. And path of jnana is, hey, this world is not meant for my enjoyment. The more I enjoy, the more I suffer. And therefore I don't want to enjoy in this world. I don't want to be entangled in this world. I just want to get out of here. Every attempt that I try to enjoy, it simply makes things worse in my life. Prahlad Maharaj describes this, that when we try to enjoy, when we try to create enjoyable situations, they end up creating multiple miserable situations. Yasmat priya priya yoga viyoga janma. Yasmat priya priya yoga viyoga janma. You know, in material life, something is priya for us. Okay, I like this kind of food to eat. So we try to do sanyoga with that, what is priya. And that which is apriya, okay, I don't like this person, I don't want to even see his face. We try to do viyoga, we try to stay away from that. And the whole of material life is trying to get, is basically centered around trying to get the desirable and avoid the undesirable. But he says, what is the end result? Shokagnishu, shokagnishu. One keeps burning in the fire of lamentation. Why? Because inevitably the undesirable is forced upon us. We don't want to get old, we don't want to get diseased, we don't want to die. And the desirable, our youth, our health, our good looks, our intelligence, all these are taken away from us. So that's why shokagni shakala yonishu dahiyamanaha sakala yonishu. Everybody is burning in the fire of material existence. And therefore what does he say? What is the solution? Vadame dasya yoga. My dear Lord, now I will not bother about what is desirable and what is undesirable. Please educate me how, in whether desirable or undesirable circumstances, how can I serve you? So, both karma and jnana are essentially self-centric paths. The path of karma is self-centric in the sense that, okay, the material world can give me enjoyment, I want it. The path of jnana is also self-centric. Oh, this material world cannot give me enjoyment, therefore I renounce it. But the path of bhakti is Krishna-centric. What is the path of bhakti? That the material is also meant for Krishna's enjoyment. And I am also meant for Krishna's enjoyment. So, the self is sacrificed for Krishna's service, and whatever are the positions of the self, they are also sacrificed for Krishna's purpose and Krishna's pleasure. So this is the essential principle of bhakti. Now, essential for engaging the material in the spiritual. The classic verse for talking about engaging the material in the spiritual is, from the Narada Bhakti Sutra, Rishikin Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchyate. Engage the senses in the service of the Lord of the senses. Now the challenge with this is that when can we offer the things and the resources of this world to Krishna? It is only when first of all our heart is offered to Krishna. When a devotee gets material resources that he can use for Krishna's service, he can use them actually for Krishna's service only when his heart is offered to Krishna. We can take the things of this world and we can offer it to Krishna only after first our heart is offered to Krishna. If our heart is not offered to Krishna, then we'll take the things of this world and offer it to our own heart. So this can happen in all fields of life. You know, we are singing kirtans for Krishna's pleasure, but we'll be singing it for our own pleasure. We'll be speaking Krishna's glories, and it may happen that people who are hearing us are remembering Krishna by our speaking. But we are remembering, how much are people appreciating my cleverness in speaking this. So the people who are hearing us may make more advancement than what we are making. Why? Because they, when they are hearing us, they are trying to offer their heart to Krishna. But we, when we are speaking about Krishna, what are we doing? Our heart is not offered to Krishna. We are not concerned with remembering Krishna. We are simply thinking, Yes, I want to show the world how clever I am.
So, of course, this is my pathetic condition. I am trying to work on it. But it happens with us, unless our own heart is offered to Krishna, it is difficult for us to offer the things of this world to Krishna. And that's why it's crucial on the path of bhakti that we first offer our heart to Krishna. And the whole process of sadhana bhakti is to offer our heart to Krishna. And especially the sadhana that we do in the morning, it's not just a ritual. Just like every day we take food. Now, eating food is not a ritual. The purpose of eating food is to get strength. Similarly, the purpose of doing sadhana, the essence of doing sadhana is yena kena prakarena mana krishna niveshayat. The essence of sadhana is to fix the mind in Krishna. And hearing, chanting, taking darshan, all these are not rituals. Actually, they are all means to help us fix our mind on Krishna. And what happens when we fix our mind on Krishna? That gives us spiritual strength. Now, we often use this word spiritual strength. What does it refer to actually? Sometimes it says a little ethereal. We can understand, when I eat, I get physical strength. I can do a lot of activities. So what is spiritual strength? Is my spiritual strength measured by how high I jump up in kirtans during the dancing? Well, maybe it can be, but that is not the most important criteria. Actually, spiritual strength essentially means the strength to resist and reject material desires. Spiritual strength means the strength to resist and reject material desires. So, the process of sadhana bhakti, which is centered on remembering Krishna, is meant to give us a spiritual satisfaction. And when we get that spiritual satisfaction, we feel, I don't need the material things for my enjoyment. And therefore, when the material desires come, na kama kami. Na kama kami, is this verse comes in the Bhagavad Gita 2.70. So, it says, one who is not the desirer of desires. It's a very curious phrase that Lord Krishna uses. One who is not the desirer of desires. What does it mean? Actually, from this external world, which is filled with materialism in Kali Yuga, desires are going to come to us. But a serious seeker does not become a desirer of desires. I don't desire the desire to enjoy. So the desire will come, the desire will pass away. Just like sometimes when we get a phone call and the phone call is a wrong number. So what do? Just wrong number and close it. So like that, now these random phone calls come beyond our control. So like that, the desires come in our consciousness beyond our control. But when we are having spiritual satisfaction, then what happens is, initially, this is wrong number, get lost. I get lost. But then, imagine if I am already bored with my life, I don't know what to do, and then suddenly somebody gives me a call. And even if it's a wrong number, I think it's the right thing. I need something to kill my time. Then I start talking. So like that, when material desires come, at least we need to be convinced that they are the wrong number. So, if we do our sadhana properly, then we get that conviction. Yes, this is not going to make me happy. I will not do this. This will not please Krishna. I will not do this. So, sometimes in some situations, some people have some digestive problems because of which they eat food but it doesn't give them energy. There may be some worms and germs in the stomach. So then, they may say, I am eating food. I am doing my duty. No, it's not a duty. It's a necessity. And we have to see, if by eating food, I am not getting energy, then I have to take some supplements. I have to cleanse my stomach. I have to take some medicines. So the purpose of eating is not just to fulfill the ritual of eating. The purpose of eating is to get physical strength to do our various activities. Similarly, the purpose of hearing, the purpose of chanting, the purpose of sadhana is not just to get things done because we have to. Because we have taken a vow, or because we are expected to, or because people will think I am a serious devotee if I do these things. No, all these are external. The purpose of doing our sadhana is to get a taste of spiritual satisfaction
by which we can resist and reject the taste for material enjoyment. And if that is not happening, then we have to do introspection. What am I doing wrong? What is it that I am not doing properly, because of which I am not getting the spiritual taste? So, have I offended some devotees? Have I done? Am I not sufficiently attentive? Are there some germs in my consciousness which are distracting my consciousness away from Krishna? Krishna says, "Bhogaishvare pasaktana ya apaharita chetasam." So when there is sense desire for sense enjoyment, the consciousness is abducted away, and Krishna is there, we are here, but we just can't think of Krishna. Our mind goes elsewhere. So actually we are talking about this point of the intersection between material and spiritual circles. So how can we stay in that intersection and not go back to material life? It is only when we get spiritual strength by remembering Krishna and relishing the joy of remembering Krishna. Now, there are situations in which somebody may, by living in this circle, just in this intersection of those two circles, he may fall back to the material circle. So Chakravarti Pad, in the next purport, his question, Chakravarti Pad says that he is having a doubt, did Priyavrata Maharaj commit any offense to somebody because of which he fell back like this? We know we later have Maharaj, we have Shaubari Rishi, who offends Garuda and he falls back. So he says, did he commit an offense like that? That's why he came back to material life? Or did he contemplate on some sense objects, or what happened? As if somebody was renounced, he will not, especially if in the jungle, there is not much chance to contemplate on sense objects. So now if we think about how it happened to Shaubari Rishi, actually seeing two fish mate, it's hardly likely to stimulate any desires. Because first of all, the fish are so tiny, and if we look at the fish, we won't even find out where their reproductive parts are and how they are copulating or doing anything like that. But actually, when Krishna is displeased with us and he withdraws the protection that he is giving us, then even the slightest of stimuli can trigger the greatest of all fires, the fire of lust. Just like if the whole, say, the Lakshagraha which the Pandavas were living in, it was all very inflammable. So just a small spark, actually the plan was Duryodhana's agent was going to burn it, but Bhima proactively preempted him and he burned it. But just one trigger is enough to burn. So actually, if we are not remembering Krishna, then our consciousness is inflammable like that. If we are not remembering Krishna, if we have displeased Krishna, we are not getting taste in the remembrance of Krishna, then our consciousness becomes inflammable. And a small trigger, that is all that is required. So, and the fire of lust starts burning and consuming the consciousness. Jatu kamah kamanam upabhogena shamyati avisha krishna vartmeva bhuyaeva bimardate. Maharaj Yayati in the 9th canto is describing how bhuyaeva bimardate, that the fire of lust keeps burning and burning and burning. So this is one possibility, that somebody by offense will fall back from spiritual life to material life. So Parikshit Maharaj is thinking that actually I renounced this world, but still I had offended Shamik Rishi. So was it that offense can have such a great consequence and cause a person to fall back from spiritual life to material life? So actually, when we hear anything in the scripture, we have to connect with our own personal lives and see how it relates, how it applies to my life. So that's my samshaya mahan brahman. This is my great doubt, he's saying. So actually, Chakravarti Pad says, Shukadeva Goswami refutes it. He says, no, don't think that he committed any offenses. So actually, Chakravarti Pad says, there are three ways in which somebody can return from spiritual life to material life. One is because of one's own carelessness in sadhana. This is what happened to Jada Bharat. He was attracted to the sense objects, and in his case also to the extreme example of somebody being attracted to deer. One is careless in sadhana, then he returns back from spiritual life to material life. Second is, when somebody commits offenses, then the Lord takes away the taste, then he falls back to the material life. And third, he says, is the Lord desires that the person come to material life. And he gives the example of Jai Vijay falling from the spiritual world to the material world. So he's giving these three examples to say that actually you are thinking that this is in the first or second category, but Priyavrat Maharaj returning to material life was in the third category. So Jai Vijay, actually they did not commit any offense, but the Lord wanted them to come to this world, and that's why they descended. So similarly, he's saying that this is going to be in this category. So now, okay, somebody is in the two circles, and somebody returns to the material life circle. Then what happens to him? Does he fall back and perish?
No.
That's what I discuss. Even if somebody falls back in material life, he does not undergo material life just like the materialist. That is what Lord Krishna describes beautifully in the sixth chapter. He says, if they are serious spiritualists, in the next life they will be born in devotee's life and they will get purified and go back to the spiritual. If they are not so serious, that means they still have a lot of material desires, because if they are distracted, then they will go to heaven, come back to the earth, and then they will be born in the Brahmana's family, by which they will go back to the spiritual world. However, these two are not the only possibilities. There is a third possibility also. Because if we see the example of Bharat Maharaj, Bharat Maharaj is an advanced spiritualist, he fell away. And when he fell away, you know, he didn't go to heaven, he was not born in a devotee's family, he actually became a deer. So how is it possible? So is what Lord Krishna telling inadequate or incorrect? How do we reconcile Lord Krishna's teachings with the example of Bharat Maharaj in this very canto? It will come later in the fifth canto. So the acharyas describe, and there is this famous verse in Kapil Dev's teachings. Actually, Mother Devahuti is offering it to Kapil Dev and glorifying and praising him. Aho bach shubachoto gariyan yajjivhagre vartate namatubhyam te pustapasta juhuva sasnurarya brahmanachur nama grunantiyete. He says that how amazing it is that even the Shvapacha, those who are dog eaters, they are actually chanting your holy names. And if actually they are chanting the holy names, then that means that they have already completed all the mundane pious religious activities. They have bathed in all the holy places, they have fasted on all the sacred occasions, they have done the Tirtha Yatra, they have practiced Brahmacharya, all those things they have done. Now the acharyas raise the question, if somebody has done all these already, then why should he be born as a Swapacha? Isn't it? If somebody has done all these things, how should he be born as a Swapacha? So that is described as the result of a sinful fall down. So now, this is a little intricate. Normally when I take a Bhagavad Gita course, I describe it with a diagram, but you can visualize what I am saying here. I described these two paths earlier. One is the gradual elevation path, which takes to heaven, the path of karma. The second is the rapid elevation path, which takes one back to Godhead. The path of karma takes one to Swarga. The path of bhakti takes one back to Godhead. So now, when Arjuna is asking a question, what is Arjuna asking? That if somebody takes up this path, the path of going back to Godhead, but is unable to complete it, and then he falls back to his earlier life. That means he returns back from the path of bhakti, from the path of transcendence, to the path of karma. Then what will happen to him? But actually, this is one path of this is the path of punya, and the punya will lead to swarga. This is the path of bhakti, which will lead to Vaikuntha. So Arjuna's question was basically, from this path, if somebody falls to this path, from the path of bhakti, somebody falls to the path of punya. But Lord Krishna, in the context of Devahuti's prayers, what is being talked about is, from this path, somebody falls not here, but directly here. That means somebody falls from spiritual life to sinful life. See, Arjuna's question is, somebody falls from spiritual life to pious life. So whereas, another possibility is, that somebody may fall from spiritual life directly to sinful life. So if you see, that is very likely for us if we fall in Kali Yuga. Because at the time of Arjuna and in the Vedic times in general, the general mass of society was on the path of punya. And even at that time, bhakti was rare. But most people were doing punya so that they could go to swarga. But in Kali Yuga, Practically nobody is on the path of punya. You know, everybody is in the state of path of papa. Not just pap, mahapapa it is. So actually, if we fall, you know, we won't fall from here to here. We may fall right from here to down. And if we fall to sinful activities, then the sinful reactions come. Then if the sinful reactions come, then where is the protection of bhakti? Where is Krishna's assurance that Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati? My devotee shall never perish. Acharyas give a very beautiful understanding. They say that yes, ultimately if we have certain desires, then those desires themselves are the obstacles for our spiritual advancement. And those desires being the obstacles for our spiritual advancement, the Lord will allow those desires to be fulfilled so that we can become free from the illusion that the desire can make me happy. And then we can, with the mind free from that illusion, practice spiritual life. So in the case of Jad Bharat, although he was a very advanced devotee, he got attached to a deer. So now the law of material nature is yam yam lapi sparan bhavam tijutyante kalevaram. Whatever one remembers at the time of death, one will attain that. So because he remembered a deer, so he got a body of a deer. So at the material level, whatever action we do, the reaction comes. But what was the protection for Jad Bharat? Or rather for Bharat Maharaj, although he fell back to material life, he did not forget his spiritual sadhana. So those impressions stayed. Although externally he got a deer's body, but his consciousness did not become like that of a deer. In fact, his consciousness was better than that of most human beings also. So what is it that we will never lose if we practice spiritual life? It is our attraction to Krishna. So that attraction to Krishna remained. That's what in the next verse, next purport, Prabhupada talks about. Purvabhyasena tenaiva riyate yavashopi saha jikyasurapi yogasya shabda brahmati vartate. In 6.43-44, and the Lord talks about how the yogi who has not been able to complete his spiritual advancement in one life starts the next life. At that time, we may say, if I have to take another life, I don't know where I will be born, in which family, which country, which species, which yuga, which universe, which kalpa. We can't know anything. It's so unpredictable. But what is predictable is our abhyas, our practice will stay with us. And purva abhyasena tenaiva riyate. Riyate means spontaneous, overpowering attraction. And what kind of attraction is? Avashopi saha. It's helplessly attracts a person. So that was, although he was a deer, Jad Bharat, but what happened to him? He was attracted to Harikatha. So that is the wonderful thing about bhakti. That the attraction towards Krishna that we have cultivated. So then, I was talking about how if we commit offenses, then our consciousness becomes materially inflammable. But for a devotee, his consciousness becomes devotionally inflammable. Devotionally inflammable means any small stimulus just triggers. And Prabhupada will give in the next purport the example of Bhagavangal Thakur and Chintamani. Now we have heard this story, but if you think about it, Bilwa Mangal Thakur is so attached to this society girl. Of course, she's not an ordinary society girl to give him spiritual advice like that. But still, he's so attracted and he's actually gone there for material enjoyment. And even not just material enjoyment, sinful material enjoyment. But at that time, she says, the kind of hard work that you had done for me, if you had done it for Krishna, you would have become liberated already. So that was one spark. And the whole consciousness caught fire. Purvabhyasena tenaiva riyate yavashopi saha. Helplessly was attracted. Now if we look at the full story, what happens is, still the material attraction remains. But the spiritual determination is also there. And the spiritual determination eventually triumphs. So if we fall to material life, how do we return back to spiritual life? our consciousness remains spiritually inflammable, but somehow we have to get that spark. And you don't have to go through one life to another life for that spark to come. Actually, every day that we are chanting Hare Krishna, even if we don't feel any conscious strong attraction towards Krishna, now every day's chanting is making our consciousness spiritually inflammable, more and more and more. And if we just keep doing, letting our consciousness become more and more spiritually inflammable, then one particular point will come when we will hear, we will read Bhagavatam, or we will hear some Harikatha, we will take one darshan, we will participate in one kirtan, and that will give us such extraordinary ecstasy, such extraordinary satisfaction, that material life will end at that time. We may still be in material world, but we will understand, this is not meant for me. The example that the acharyas give is, that just like when the sun is rising, when the sun is rising, the sunrise is gradual. Slowly, 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 slowly rising. The sunrise is gradual, but our realization that the sun has risen is sudden. The sun is rising gradually, but our realization that the sun has risen is sudden. Oh, it's daytime, the sun has risen. But it's not that at that time the sun rose. All along the sun was rising, but at that time we realize it. So similarly, when we are practicing bhakti, every day that we are hearing and chanting, the sun of Krishna is rising in our heart. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem Sadhya Kabunai Shravanadi Shuddha Chitta Karaya Udai Udai. Udai means to rise. Shravanadi. So when we do Shravan and Kirtan, what happens? Udai, the sun starts rising. And normally, if we are just every morning we do japa, you know, we may not even notice the sun is rising. But you know, it's daytime now. So like that, we are busy in our service to Krishna. We may not even realize that my heart is getting purified. But actually, if we just keep practicing the process of Krishna consciousness, trying to fix our mind on Krishna, then suddenly, one day the sun will rise. And at that time, we will, by Krishna's mercy, see through the illusions of Maya, that there's nothing for me in this material life. All of us, now most of us, I myself, we need to aspire for that day when we will see through the tricks of Maya. And then, at that stage we realize bhakti becomes susukham kartum avyayam. Till that stage, bhakti is a battle. It's a joyful battle, but it's a battle. But at that stage, bhakti no longer remains a battle. Because the mind, the essential battle in bhakti is that the mind by its default gravity goes towards sense objects. We have to drag it back. But at that time, the mind by its default gravity goes towards Krishna. And then, susukham kartum avyayam. So I'll conclude with what Chakravarti Pad says about Madhurya Kadambini. He explains that when we are practicing bhakti, actually the path of anartha nivritti is like a steep mountain climb. It's like a steep mountain climb. It requires constant exertion, constant exertion. But we should not think that this is what we have to do eternally. When we are climbing a mountain, the mountain is not infinitely tall. So once we reach the plateau, then what happens? Then the effort is much lesser. And not only with the plateau, then there is a natural slope, a slide slope. So naturally we can slide along. So this is, in all the literatures of the world, this phase of sadhana bhakti, they may not use this word, but it is considered a tough phase. In the Christian literature, in the Bible, it is called as the dark night of the soul. The soul has to tolerate and go through it. But if you can tolerate and go through it, yattad agre visham iva pariname amritopam. That which tastes like poison in the beginning will taste like nectar in the end. And in the verse before, this is in the 18th chapter, 38th verse, 37th verse, Lord Krishna says, 36th verse he says, that how does one come to that stage, tolerating the poison and going to the nectar? Abhyasa dramate yatra dukkantam janigachati. Abhyasa dramate yatra. Abhyas, practice. So if you keep practicing, then what will happen? Raman. Raman means spiritual delight will come. And once spiritual delight comes, dukkantam chanigachati, all the dukkha, there will be anta, will be destroyed. Srila Prabhupada has given us the process by which we can attain that. And in the next verses, Shukadeva Goswami will explain that actually Parikshit Maharaj never returned back to material life. And he was always in spiritual life, and even when he came back, he straight to material life. His desires never became material. His desires stayed spiritual. And he returned to serve the Supreme Lord. Because he returned to serve the Supreme Lord with that intention and motivation, he never became contaminated. So the Srimad Bhagavatam, these are so many different pastimes which can help us to absorb our mind and intelligence in Krishna. And then with that absorption, we can render so many different services for Krishna. And one day, return back to Krishna. So I'll summarize. Started by talking about how normally people think that material life and spiritual life are two non-intersecting circles. But we discussed that they intersect. Why? How do they intersect? Because material life and spiritual life is not just determined by our externals, but by our internals, our desire. So if somebody can stay in materialistic and externals, but have spiritual desires internally, then that is the intersection area. So we discuss how the path of bhakti specializes in training us to offer our heart to Krishna first, so that we can offer the things of this world also to Krishna. And then we discussed about how from this intersection, somebody may fall back to material life in three ways. One is because of negligence in sadhana. Other is, what is Parikshit Maharaj's suspicion of offense. And third is the Lord's will. So in the case of Priyavrata Maharaj, it is neither negligence nor offense, it is the Lord's will. And if somebody falls back in any way, actually if he is coming by Lord's will, it's not really a fall. But how can he return? Purvabhyasena. The past impressions will attract him forcibly. So, what are we doing now in our sadhana? Now we are trying to make our consciousness, by our daily remembrance of Krishna, we are trying to make our consciousness spiritually, devotionally inflammable. And in one particular spark, one is hearing of kirtan, one darshan, one narration of Krishna's pastime, one particular aspect of Krishna's beautiful description and character, that will set our consciousness aflame. And then, when our consciousness is set aflame by Krishna, dukkhantam janigachyati. Thank you very much. Are there any questions? Yes, Prabhu? Please speak, I'll repeat.
Hare Krishna. So every day in chanting, in hearing, in reading, we keep on struggling. And we don't feel joy.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Okay, so the question is that in our daily struggle, we don't feel the joy, we feel only the struggle. So then what will keep us moving? Actually, if we were not feeling any joy, we would not be here at all. So the very fact that we are here means that we do experience some joy. But that joy may not be constant. It's just like if we are watering, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives the example, Sanatana Goswami, of watering the Bhaktilata beach. So if you are watering the Bhaktilata beach, if a gardener is daily watering the plant, it's not that with every daily, okay, I put one glass of water and the plant grew by 1 millimeter or 1 centimeter. It doesn't work like that. Every day the water is causing it to grow. So like that, the process of spiritual advancement is gradual. But the very fact that we are able to resist and reject the cravings that we used to indulge in the past, the very fact that we are able to practice the four regulative principles and live a spiritual Krishna-centered life, that indicates we are getting some taste. But in addition to that, we should also see in which activities of bhakti we get some taste. And we can do that a little more. Because someday we would find that kirtans really absorb the mind, then we can have that as our extra resource. We can do that a little more than what is prescribed as a standard sadhana, or if we find that reading a particular book or hearing a particular Vaishnava's classes or reciting verses, singing Vaishnava songs, this gives us strength, then we should do that a little more so that we get that taste and strength. So surely all of us, if we take inventory of our spiritual life, we'll find there is some aspect of bhakti which does give us taste and strength. The only thing is we often neglect it. But we should know that this is where Krishna is giving me taste. And I should accept that taste. So basically, if we look at our own spiritual life, we can categorize, there are three kinds of activities we have to do. One is some which we love to do, some which are okay, I'll do it because I'm told. And some which we really don't like to do. Maybe if it's Pandavanirjal Ekadashi, we have to fast. We don't like to do it. There are other activities, some services we may do and we find that this particular service or this particular devotee, I just can't get along with. So actually speaking, when we are pure hearted, there is zero activities in this category. But we are not pure hearted and we can't imagine suddenly that we are pure hearted. So what we have to do, the activities which we like to do, which give us taste and strength, by doing those activities, we get the strength to tolerate the activities which we don't like to do. So, for example, when there are certain situations in our service which may be really agitating or provoking, but how do we get the strength to continue doing that? Because there are certain aspects of our spiritual life which give us taste. So, we borrow our taste and strength from these activities to do the activities which are more of a struggle and challenge. So that's how we at our sadhana stage can keep practicing spiritual life. Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Chaitanya Shikshamrita explains, while talking about, actually all the acharyas talk about Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Vichayanachari Thakur and Rupa Goswami, they say that our sangha, we should always have sajatiya asha. Sajatiya asha sangha. Sajatiya asha means what? We should associate with devotees who have the same category of desires. Sajati, not that they all have to be the same jati. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is far beyond jati. But sajati asha means if I love to study Shastra, then if I go and just try to strike a very heart-to-heart relationship with somebody who is more of a fundraiser. Now, fundraising also important service. And studying scripture is also important service. Now we should have a good relationship with everyone. But we can't develop a deep rapport with that person. So you have to find out some other devotee who relishes Shastra and then bodhayanta paraspara. That will give us taste. If somebody is a fundraiser, then he'll have to find some other fundraiser. So basically, sajatiya asha. If you're in the sangha of Vaishnavas, you have to find out that sangha which sort of resonates with our aspirations and our tastes in Krishna consciousness. And that will give us the strength to go on in our spiritual life. That will, so our struggle is not in itself joyful. But when we fix our mind on Krishna through that struggle, that fixing of the mind on Krishna is joyful. And that fixing of the mind is not something which happens at the end of our spiritual life. That can happen on a day-to-day basis also. Just like every day when we try to chant, the mind wanders here and there. But even amid that we fight and try to concentrate. And even if few rounds we are able to really concentrate and hear the holy name and fix the mind on Krishna, that gives a lot of taste. So all of us have that experience, maybe more in kirtan than in japa, but we do have that experience. So the struggle is not a burden. But we can find out what are the ways in which we can make the struggle easier and the fruit of the struggle more accessible for us. So one way is sajatiyasha. Okay? So shall we stop here? Thank you very much. Kantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki, Jatnitai Gaura Premanande. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.